we need to really understand is to develop a plan, develop and promulgate your standards. You define how things has to be handled, coordinate decision making. So you develop a way how the decisions can be taken by every employee of an organization, optimize service delivery, for which you need to manage your workforce. Yeah. So that's the entire roadmap should cover this critical four aspects. Core characteristics of your roadmap, yeah, that we are trying to define are visualize key operational processes, design workflow and predefined responses, develop metrics and gauges, operate functionally, measure systematically, and drive continuous improvement. So let me take one by one. Visualize key operational process means you need to really list out everything that happens, how it is linked to the next step or which step was earlier linked to this particular process, etc. It must clearly identify exactly the way it gets produced. So that's what you plot out your entire key operation, this thing. You have the roles assigned to respective stages of that, etc. After which you design workflow and predefined responses. You then design your blueprint in such a way. You also create a situation based predefined responses. So you have to, if this happens, what can be done? If this happens, how it can be handled? So there are certain obvious, natural, well thought out, you know, situations that can be really developed, worked out, to which the response is also kind of being plotted. Yeah, people are aware or people can refer it to, rather than putting everything onto the top management or middle management or immediate boss. A worker or an employee is allowed to take that responsible action and then discuss this out with the management at the next time available to them, yeah, to bring out what deviations have happened or what improvement can be done by them, etc., or how they went about taking this particular response. And then collectively everybody shares the responsibility. Develop metrics and gauges, and this nothing but it says we have covered a lot about it, which is a performance measurement. You have to develop ways and means by which it can be measured. It uses the word gauges, and there are certain technical, there are certain other non-financial or non-other parametric subjects or areas which needs to be measured in a technical or other ways, so that you come to know that it is still yielding a better result to you. So that's what operate functionally, measure systematically. Operate functionally means now that you have re-evaluated your process, now that you have realigned your improvements into the current process and you have made your process to work differently as per the improved suggestions, you have to work that, and that's what operate functionally. So you start then doing things accordingly and then measure systematically. You have to measure them systematically. There is to be a proper way by which it is known that this is how it is going to be measured. It should be tamper proof, and it should not be the way that person can manipulate it, etc. It should be a independent but systematic measurement that has to take place, so that you really know whether your implementations or improvements are making sense and drive continuous improvement. From that stage, that's the stage where you have done, you have to drive next level of continuous improvement. You have to allow suggestions to come in, you have to allow people's feedback to come in, you have to sit together to evaluate how this can be avoided, or how this whether this suggestion is beneficial, productive, reducing wastage or reducing cost, etc. And once convinced, decide to implement. So you have to realign your processes again, and again the cycle should continue. So that's the roadmap. Roadmap characteristics should cover these five aspects. So from X point to the Y point, when you want to go, these are the five points or the five characters should really be built into your entire system as a DNA of your organization. Managing operational risk. Most business operations must cultivate a culture of risk management. Risk management is a deep-rooted exercise. Mature risk cultures are characterized by a set of essential management practices that ensures the framework of enterprise functions at a consistently high level. Let me make you understand. Risk management, everybody is at a risk. In an enterprise which is built on a common strategic purpose in the market to be achieved. There are operational sides, there are functional sides, there are line managers, there are staff functions, etc. The way your processes are, whether it is hazardous, it is non-hazardous. However, in any and every situation, there is a risk involved. There is a risk of possibility. There is a possibility of a risk where, if anything goes wrong, it may lead to a major production loss or a financial loss, etc. However, one need to understand that the risk element starts with him or her itself. Yani, if him or her does things wrongly, risk can be on him or her. Yani, it may damage him. Yani, it may make him physically unable. You know, some physical disabilities, etc., can come in. One employee going out of the system, no doubt a new guy can come in, but that's the risk, and a risk which is centered around you, risk which is then centered around your department or your functional area, where you have to be careful, you have to be aware about what probably can go wrong, what needs to be really managed well so that the risk is minimized. Functional area, whether it is geared up to tackle unwarranted exigencies which may come in. So is there a scope to handle that? Have there any planning been done to minimize the risk on that account, etc.? So beyond that functional area, then you get into your line area, then you get into your kind of a departmental areas, then you get into your complete work area. So work area, when I say, like, look at a, say, like a larger petrochemical complex, so there's an administrative block, there is a production block, there is a process block, there is a warehouse block. Now, right from that single individual risk assessed to it goes into the complete block area, and not even that, it then centers around the entire complex. That's the risk that you are having it, and that entire complex is within the surrounding area. So, like, what is the risk that is assigned to each level? Now, typically what happens is everyone looks at more internally. So that individual will be more careful about what is risking him or her. Function will be more careful about what is risking the functional area or what is risking the overall division, department. Going to the administrative block, guys will be more careful about anything to the administrative block. Warehouse guy will be more careful to the, say, risk to the warehouses, etc. What has been found out through major fatalities, major accidents that has happened in petrochemical refineries, in mines, or you say in major production organizations, etc., is that next level which nobody really gives an attention, which is a risk of cumulativeness. The risk which is beyond all this is assessed or evaluated or not. The risk due to say the fire within the petrochemical unit. Now that fire can swipe out the warehouse or swipe out the administrative block, etc. No matter you have taken the due precaution to be risking or minimizing the risk in that, but have you considered the surrounding? Have you considered the overall environment around you, etc.? So are you geared up for that? So as a result, and therefore, like, many refineries, petrochemicals also have their own firefighting units and all. So, like, before the governmental support or before any other support that can come in, are they geared up to minimize the risk? So understanding is that the risk not only starts with you physically, but it encompasses the complete functional and one level above that entire unit. Yani, so unit can be your functional area, can be your department, can be your division, can be your production line, can be your work area, can be the block, and can be the factory surrounding. And not only that, can be the social surrounding around your factory, etc. So that's the complete assessment of a risk, and that assessment really gives you the idea. So you must have the continuous process improvements also in your risk planning. And you must have your risk planning done so as to minimize that to a level so that fatalities, the unwarranted losses, etc., are minimized. Like, during my age and all, I have seen some of the major, heard about me or seen video footages of catastrophic in, say, like Kuwait, where the entire well gets caught fire, and therefore millions of this thing is spent to douse the fire or block that well, you know, that well is like a permanently blocked, you know, so you cannot really extract oil out of it, etc. So instead of how this could have been prevented in the first place, the beautiful thing is that such probing revealed that everybody who were responsible to minimize the risk have taken their due steps. But what still gets missed out is that one notch above, you know, that one level above, nobody has assessed, you know, and as a result, cumulatively they failed when the risk, you know, came in and risk comes in uninvited. So that's the stage you have to cover. So how do you manage risk? Identify the risk, identify the sources of risk from all directions. So what we are trying to tell you is that you must cover exhaustively what all possibilities that the risk can come in. Establish a control system designed to respond to a risk in case of when it has happened, to re-engineer the process, to eliminate or transfer the risk, or to detect the risk early before it can cause significant damage. Even say, for example, in terms of recall, today a lot of automobile companies resort to recall, which is a risk of its own nature. So why not have a process where even the risk is not transferred to the next process? So like if the part assessment, if compliances have been performed, then it should have stopped at that stage. You know, they should not have accepted, or at least after accepting, also when they realize that there was a fault in it, they should not have used it, etc. So point is, like, instead of getting into the vehicle going into the market and then calling it back, how can this risk be totally eliminated? So that is what you identify from how this risk can be evaluated and eliminated, kind of thing. Test and test again, as it emphasizes that things can go wrong anytime, any which ways. Do you have an eye on your existing risk assessment and risk minimization steps that is there in the organization? So have your control systems, follow required compliances. Not only that, test them. And therefore, there are drills, you know, fire drills, evacuation drills. There are various kind of such this thing you will see in a very large organizations. Today, even large buildings do that, you know, office complexes, you have sudden, you know, fire drill, etc. So idea is that you minimize the fatalities and you are monitoring it, whether it is effective, whether your fire system is running in a given emergency, etc. So that is what is, you continue to test them, you know, you simulate the risk, test it, and then be compliant. Then you be assured about it, it is going to work for you. Finally, we come to a very critical stage of understanding, which is change happens. As they say, the change is the only continuous things, you know. This is way back, even ages back. I understand that even in Mahabharata, Krishna is telling Arjun, okay, don't be afraid what is changing around you. Change is the only constant that you have in your life. So arise and face the situation boldly. This is nothing but you are at another stage of change in your life. So face it bravely. So that is what, if that is the case, it is a natural conclusion that change continue to happen around us. Whether you like it or not, whether it is in your control or not in your control, whether it is a micro level or macro level, change continue to happen. Implementing a continuous improvement program is one way a company can harness the change and create a competitive advantage. What is required, what is essential is company in a position to harness out of the change. Very critical, as they say, if you can't beat them, join them. That's one, say, principle of say marketing or a competitive strategy. Here, can you harness the change? Are you knowing how the changes are shaping up and unwinding in front of you? How changes are getting invented? How changes are coming out in open, etc.? And then are you aware? If you are aware, are you harnessing it? Are you harnessing to your advantage? So that is a competitive advantage that you will create. So that's also, therefore, the change-centric harnessing the potential is also a part of a continuous improvement, because change are continuous process. So therefore, if change-based improvements are not roped into your overall continuous process operational excellence program, you will not be able to manage the change. The elements that lead to successful and sustainable efforts along with the change management is align continuous improvement with strategic objectives. So how can you really be aligned to the changes happening is to, like, you have to align your improvements with the strategic objectives. Entire your improvement objectives, improvement program objective cannot be something different from vis-a-vis the organization objective, vis-a-vis the strategic objectives. So continuous improvement is not a standalone initiative. It cannot be a one-off something which keeps doing the way it wants to do. No, it has to have alignment with the overall corporate and business and objectives. Must align with strategic objectives. It should also align with the strategic objectives which are at a SBU level or a, you know, functional level, etc. So it must align with their strategic objective. Don't tackle all objectives at one go. Now, when you really know that areas that you need to really look upon an improvement to create that edge, to create a benefit, after you plot your existing process, after you really plot the role and responsibilities, you will probably realize there are areas, we are gray areas, or there are areas which is obviously creating a waste, which is not producing required results, etc. Now, you might have a list of such 10 areas. Now, it is not important that you handle all 10 together. Therefore, your focus must be that now that I have this 10 in front of me, which is the most logical, most likely, more tactfully, if handled, will give you a greater change benefit, etc. That's how you look at it. What is more valuable to you to change, etc. And then you resort to that change and link other changes as a continuous process improvement. You not only tackle others, but in tandem manner. So instead of spreading too thin on doing all 10 changes together, focus on most valuable and go in a descending order and tackle those issues one after the other. No matter what, there might be another improvement suggestions for something that you have already tackled. That can be through your required process of, you know, evaluating and assessment can come into your this thing while you handle the next major issue more aggressively. Strategic objectives fit in is a right litmus test. Whether your continuous improvements are contributing towards your strategic objective, are they making achievement of your strategic goals, objectives more, you know, flawless, more appealing, creating a path for that to be possible, etc., then they are aligned to your required strategic initiatives, and therefore such changes, such continuous improvements are really going to contribute much more than something which is done out of the way. And so the litmus test is whether your continuous improvement is adding to your strategic age or not. Then don't overdo process excellence at outset. It is linked to something that has been mentioned earlier. Determine where biggest opportunities are. So you have a 10 problem areas. Determine where is the big opportunity. Something which is going to add more value if tackled. Something which is going to make you more productive. Something which is going to give you or significant cost advantage. Something which is going to help you exceed customer expectations and delivery. So tackle them. Assign, determine the opportunity. Smart, small, and gain momentum. So start with what is required with the capability built in to gain momentum as you move forward. So choose what is going to matter. Remember, plan, do, check, adjust. So you have to follow these four corners, which is always plan, do things, check whether it is effective, and then adjust to the required demand on the process or the system, etc. So don't overdo too much at one time in your overall continuous improvement journey. Integrate continuous improvement into a culture of strategic execution. So what it says is that performance-based cultures requires a clear strategy. The organization which has shifted from production orientation to service orientation or a product plus service orientation, service delivery is critical. Each processes and each employees are aligned to service delivery to customers, which has been done through a process management. So what it says is that performance-based culture requires clear strategies. You have to have a strategy in place that is known to each and everybody who is contributing. Clarify your vision, mission and values and set objectives throughout the organization. So you have your set vision, mission and your core values, etc. Educate people, make them set their core objectives and goals, etc., aligned with the overall corporate strategic objectives, etc., and then work on culture and commitment empathetically. And you have to then also look at how is your organization's overall culturally strengthened. You know, how can you make the continuous improvement, or how can you make service delivery as an organization culture itself. And then communication is very critical. Top needs to frequently communicate with the person at the ground level, you know, so that also has to give a channel to him so that the ground level can speak with the top, you know, without fear, with confidence, with whatever kind of the smallest of suggestions can reach from the ground to the top, etc., at a required level, so that you have a very integrated improvement culture within your organization. Blend the best practices from different methodologies. What it says is organizations should not only have a core way to evaluate what is going on, whether it is, you know, improvement led, whether it is adding value, whether it is getting productive and efficient, etc. Yes, you can probably have one core program or one core evaluation program or a tool used, but what it is suggesting is that you have to blend the best practices from different methodologies. So there is the Kaizen, there is a Six Sigma, there is a Lean management, etc. So you may say probably adopted Six Sigma, and that you probably can do the way you are proceeding ahead also. But at a given interval or a time, try and evaluate also your current way of doing things using either the Kaizen or a Lean management practices. That methodology knowledge you try to apply and see whether that unravels something to you. Does it bring out some areas of improvement needed? So that itself becomes a part of your next continuous improvement cycle. So blend best practices from different methodologies. Focus on data, not emotions. And practice data-driven decisions. Emphasis on measures and metrics. And what it is saying that the subjectivity has to go down. You have to be very data-centric when you are getting into it. So the process improvements cannot be just at the whims and fancy of some middle management or a leader. If that is the case, you will give a rise to subjectivity, you know, you will give a rise to them looking at their convenience more than the customer deliverables, etc. So you have to be at such stage very careful that is there a data behind. So we have told you in earlier graphs and all showed you evaluate. That is a data-based evaluation. What is the current productivity? What is the current overheads? What is the current efficiency metrics using this process or this particular way of doing things? If you apply new process, new suggestions, new improvement, what could be the better improvement? What could be the productivity? What could be the cost improvements or an efficiency index improvement, etc.? And then work it on. So it's a very focused on a data that based, and you have a previous idea, you have given a deliverables in terms of what likely deliverables could be, and then you measure them. So whether you got what you were expecting out of this process implements or not, that is a rational way of doing, rather than just allowing emotion based improvement success. So that's what change is, a constant this thing. You have to manage change using these principles: align, don't overdo, integrate continuous improvement, blend the practices from the different methodology, and focus on data and not emotion. So this is how you manage change that is happening around you and bring out the overall continuous improvement and forefront of handling change and giving a leverage to the organizations. Then we come to operational maximum optimization.